I'd like to talk to you today about change. And it's not a long sermon because we have a lot of things to do today, a lot of pieces in worship. And so I thought, well, I don't have a lot of time, so let me just pick a simple subject, like change. You know, there's a paradox with how we deal with change. Because we know that change is inevitable, right? As a matter of fact, one of the biological definitions of change and of life, actually, biological definition of life, is that it's an organism that changes. And once the organism stops changing, then there's no more life. And so there's this paradox. We know that's true, but we have a hard time kind of confronting that fact sometimes. We have a hard time embracing it or going with the flow, as they say. There is a scale of change. I don't know if you've ever seen that list. It has a scale, and then it measures the stressfulness of change. And at the top is the death of a spouse, and it goes down, and it rates the kinds of changes and gives it a numeric stress value. And you can go through that list and look at it and kind of count up the things that have been going on in your life, and the more that you have going on, the more that you can count on being stressed. But that isn't always the case, too. Sometimes we feel stress over things that wouldn't make the list of other people. Stress to change is sort of a personal thing in some ways. So if the reality is that life changes, and oftentimes when I go to visit people in the hospital and places like that, one of the things I most often hear from them is how quickly everything changed. So if we know that change is inevitable, and if we're able to step back a little bit and see that not all change is bad, and it certainly isn't. Just got done talking to the kids, and ahead of them they have many changes in their life that are going to take place. And we look back on those, and at the time they seemed very stressful, and now we look back with the help of time and history and see how they fit into our lives. So if we know that life is going to change, then what is it that we should do? How should we approach this whole thing? Well, I think the response to change and knowing that it's coming is not what we often try to do, is ignore it or to slow it down or to change the change, but to recognize that when it comes, there will be a way to make it through it and embrace it, and go with it. That's these passages today. The gospel passage, I think, is such an interesting passage because it opens, if you notice, it opens with this idea that Jesus is going back to Lazarus's house, who he had raised from the dead before, maybe not too long ago, and they're having a dinner. And the end, towards the end of the story, or in the middle and the end, we see that Mary takes this perfume that is used for burials, which actually she might have bought for her brother, and uses it and transforms it into something for life rather than death. You see, that family had definitely experienced change. And Mary was able to take it and take that perfume and move it into this new way that God had provided. The Isaiah passage, quite honestly, is one of my favorites too. Because in that passage, we see God starting off by kind of giving the resume for what God can do in the time and need of change. Made a way through the water, gave water in the desert, all these different things. And then God says, look, I'm doing something new. Oftentimes we hear that passage when a preacher or somebody's trying to get you to buy into what they think is new, right? Look, I'm doing something new. See, it compares to what I'm suggesting. But this passage talks about this eternal new, this eternal way making that God is providing for us. I don't know if you've ever been like on a campus or at a park, and they have the sidewalks, how, you know, they'll put the sidewalks in certain ways. But have you ever noticed that oftentimes there will be a place where people walk where there wasn't a sidewalk? Right? So you could have all these different sidewalks, and then you have a path that has been made where people really wanted to go. And landscaping, and in that world, they call this a dream path. It's the way that people actually need to go. When they planned it, they thought, well, we'll have a path from this swing set to this drinking fountain in the park and this and that, and that's the way people will go. But then they stop and they actually see how people want to go. Now, what some places are doing are actually building out the pieces and parts and then finding out where people make the path and then putting in the sidewalk. That's way making. The idea that there will always be change would be almost paralyzingly scary if we didn't have faith that God would make a way, that we would be able to lift our eyes, even in the midst of the toughest change, and find a desire path, a dream path, a way. When I was a little kid, and I was at one point, not for very long, I jumped up there in size pretty quick, but there was a time when I was tiny, and my brothers and sisters, they played a lot of sports, and so we would go and watch their games. And so halftime or whenever there was a break, I would go with my dad. And the process was that my dad would get up and he'd start walking, and then I would take my finger and hook it on his belt loop, right? And in that way, I didn't have to like pay attention to where he was going, and I could kind of look around and see what was going on. Now, again, I was little. This wasn't like when I was 19 or something. This was when I was tiny, little. And I would just be able to do that. And there was something about, you know, I learned that way of following, right? Because a belt loop is not a tremendously strong thing, and so it would be easy to break it off. But somehow I was able to pick up that pattern of how my dad would move and walk through a crowd. And since I was able to do that and sense and know that my dad would lead me in a way that would get me to where we needed to go, then I could enjoy the time. And I could look around. You see, there's something amazingly freeing to be able to say that we trust that God will make a way. It's not easy, and I don't want to present this as though it's just something like, no matter what's happening in your life, just pray and try. It's not that easy, and I don't want to suggest that. But being able to know that God cares for us and has proven over and over the resume of God being able to take people through times of tough change is amazing. We could share stories right now and probably come up with dozens, if not many more than that, of times when God has taken us through that way. And so for people of faith, whether it's in our own life or in the life of our church, as we make our way through this interim period, as we find out where God is leading us, yes, it will be stressful. Yes, there's a lot of unknown things. And yes, God is making a way. As we come to this time of prayer, and then we sandwich it into the time of Holy Communion, I'd like us to think about the people that are experiencing change in times that are really stressful and tough. Let's remember the family and friends of Sergeant Joseph Collette, Phyllis Claypool's in rehab. I saw her this week in the hospital. Let's remember, is it Billy? Is that right, Linda? And also, let's remember Jerry, a friend of Joanne, who will also be going in for heart surgery as well. Now, let's take some time and think about those people in our lives and even our own situations of change. And let's ponder and understand what those might be like for us today.